thrown 11 touchdown passes, one interception. His career record is 11-2. Almost sounds like the same kind of record as a Len Dawson during the glory years when Hank Stram and his great team was matriculating the ball down the field. Leonard Dawson, how are you?
I'm doing very good today, Nick.
Well, good. You know, I figured why not start with the ultimate, most popular thing to do in the NFL season, which is the so-called quarterback controversy. Is there really a quarterback controversy in Kansas City?
There is with the fans, yes, indeed. Now, with the coaching staff, that's a different situation. It's very interesting. Trent Green had set a record for starts for a quarterback with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it was like 81 or 82 straight starts. And when he went down in the first game against Cincinnati, the people would say, oh, my goodness, what can we do now? You got to play this Damon Heward guy. We don't know anything about him. He hadn't started in 6 years. He hadn't thrown a pass in a few years. He was the third quarterback last year, the guy that dressed but never got a chance to play. So we are in dire straits. Well, what happened? That Damon Heward went out, and he has won 5 games for Kansas City, put them right in the hunt for the division race and also a shot at the playoffs. And now the people are saying, well, what do we need this Trent Green guy for? But it's a very interesting situation. They're making something out of maybe is nothing. First of all, Herm Edwards, the head coach, had said when Trent got hurt, as soon as he's able to play, I might add, if people don't know, that he had a very severe concussion, that as soon as Trent's ready to play, he's our quarterback. He's going to be in there. Now, all of a sudden, there's something about chemistry that's being mentioned now, that, hey, the chemistry seems to be very good with this Damon Heward. He's getting the ball to our playmakers, people like Tony Gonzalez. Gonzalez has had 2 or 3 sparkling games in a row. He's moving the ball around. And you mentioned 11 touchdown passes, which happens to be his number, too. So hopefully he's going to get more than 11. And just one interception. I think if you ask any coach in the league, you know, would you take that? And they would say, give it to me now, right now. But there is, with the fans, controversies as to who should be the starting quarterback. And Nick, that could all change Sunday, because they're going to Miami to play the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are a good defensive football team, and it could present some problems for Kansas City's offense. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens after the Dolphin game.
Well, as you looked at Miami and the complete personality change they underwent in Chicago, this wasn't a game in Miami. Their defense, 6 turnovers, aggressive. They showed finally and exposed the weaknesses and the immaturity of Rex Grossman's game. So before we talk about Chicago later in this broadcast, let's talk about what Miami did and what Miami...
I'll tell you, now, wasn't Miami a team that a lot of people were saying this team can make the playoffs? This was before the season got underway. Isn't this Miami team a team that's, I think, ranked about 4th in the defense in the NFL? They've given up, I think, less than 20 points a game. And for a team that's 2-6, that's a pretty good sign that there is some strength on this football team. The problem with Miami has been at the offense side of the ball. They're just not getting the job done there. But for Damon Heward, going back to Miami, where he was an understudy to Dan Marino, and I think he started 4 games for Dan. I think he won all 4 anyway. But he's had success there. So he's very excited about going back to Miami and showing that he is a quarterback that should be playing in the National Football League, not as a backup, but as a starter.
Let's talk about Tony Gonzalez as well for a second, because last year with his ankle problems, he wasn't even, I think, as sure-handed last year. It looks like when he catches the ball, he has caught the ball. It looks like when he runs with the ball, he's dragging people with him. In essence, it looks like Tony Gonzalez is carrying a load he's never carried at this level before for the Chiefs.
Well, Tony Gonzalez has got great hands, Nick. I mean, I always liked a receiver who caught the ball in his hands, as opposed to somebody letting the ball come to them in their arms or in their chest. Tony snatches it. And you know what he does? Because I think of his basketball background and a rebounder, he snatches the ball away from those defenders. You know, if it's a jump ball, Tony Gonzalez more likely is going to come down with that football. And then what he does is he gets extra yards after it, and he really protects the football. Some guys will start swinging that ball around in their arm, not him. He goes two arms, making sure that he secures that football, and he gets additional yardage. And he's not the easiest guy for those defensive backs to bring down because Tony's 250 or 55 pounds and a great athlete. So he's come into his own. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, and it's because of this guy, Larry Johnson. Now, Larry, if you're going to defense Kansas City, who are you going to be most concerned about? Well, I would think it's number 27, Larry Johnson, who is leading, I think, his all-purpose yardage back in the National Football League right now. I think he's number one. But the thing is, those linebackers have to stay up near that line of scrimmage because they're keying on him. The run game is the thing that they're featuring. For example, against St. Louis last week, the first 12 plays, 11 were run. The other one was a play-action pass. So you're seeing what Kansas City and Herm Edwards wants to establish. But those linebackers stay up close, and oftentimes they have to guard Tony Gonzalez. For some reason, I would never put a linebacker on him. And so that open area behind the linebackers and the defensive backs is an area, particularly in a zone defense, that Tony can roam around in and get to the open spot and make the catches. And he's been doing that very, very well the last couple of ball games.
Two more questions about the Chiefs. The offensive line, which was much maligned, a famous phrase earlier in the year, but certainly they've come together. Tell us about Mike Solari, the offense that seems to have been simplified for Damon Hewitt, and most importantly, the blocking scheme that now is beginning to take off.
Well, good news and bad news. They have been improving. The bad news is in the game against St. Louis, Brian Waters, the left guard, he's been to the Pro Bowl the last couple of years, and I think the best offensive lineman that Kansas City has, hurt his knee in that ball game. He is going to miss at least a couple of ball games. So now, who are they going to put in there? The coach isn't saying who the left guard is going to be. Chris Bober is one that could be. John Wellborn, who plays guard and tackle, could be somebody that gets the start. Probably Bober, because he played there when Waters got hurt last Sunday. And the offensive line is doing a better job. In the first few ball games, Nick, because the offensive tackles were both new, that they weren't getting the job done. So Kansas City had to keep the tight ends in. That would mean Tony Gonzalez and the other tight end for Kansas City, Jason Dunn, big 280-pounder, to help with those offensive tackles. Now, how are you going to get Tony Gonzalez open if he's back there blocking, helping the offensive tackle? Well, you're not.
Absolutely.
They're coming along better now, and they're protecting the quarterback better now, and Hewitt is healthy.
And let's talk about the head coach, too, because with all respect, as we have tremendous respect and affection for Dick Vermeil, but the pieces didn't come together quite perfectly for that Chiefs team without a defense that could tackle. And also the idea of leadership, which certainly Dick Vermeil preached, but it seems like, and tell me if I'm right on this, tell me if I'm wrong, that Herm Edwards is finding a way to tap into certain players that do have the capacity to lead that team, to inspire that team, and starting with Tony Gonzalez. Who are some of the other people that are stepping it up?
Gonzalez is one of the leaders on the team. Of course, Trent Green has been the leader on the team, but a guy that's coming along is Larry Johnson. And, Nick, I don't know if you saw the piece that he did before the coaches meeting with the media last week, but he got on and he imitated Herm Edwards and had him down to a T, and I'm thinking, I didn't know this guy had a sense of humor. But he's getting more involved in the leadership role with this football team, because when Herm came here, he told Larry, you're my starting running back, you're it, and I expect things out of you, and I expect some leadership out of you as well, and not just run, you know, not just on game day. And so he's taken over that role a great deal. I think that Larry Kinnison is one of the leaders. Also Brian Waters is one of the leaders on that football team. On the defensive side of the ball, you got a lot of young people out there, but the cornerbacks, Ty Law and Patrick Surtain, are veterans, along with Sammy Knight, and they add leadership on that defensive side of the ball. And so they do have some leadership, and I can tell you this, you know, and I've covered the Chiefs on their radio network for, I don't know, 21 or 22 years.
Forever.
Forever. The last couple of years, I kept saying, well, who is the leader over there on that defense? Because they were getting mauled, you know. And so nobody wanted to jump up and take responsibility. But there's more leadership now on this team than there was last year.
Well, we call this show Thursday Morning Quarterback. Len Dawson's joining us. When we come back, Bubby Brister, another quarterback, is going to help us talk about a nice Southern confrontation between the New Orleans Saints and the Pittsburgh Steelers and other quarterbacks around the NFL, and later Chris Mortensen from ESPN. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122. Stay with us.